If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 and our verse 5 through 7. If you want to get there with me. And don't we love Peter? Oh my gosh, he's such a real guy, isn't he? He's had such a journey with Jesus and he's kind of spoken out of turn a little bit. He denied Jesus 3 times to his shame, but was loved by Jesus, who understood his faults, just like he understands ours. And he changed, didn't he? He was became so spirit-led. He brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Yay, Peter. And this was written, 1 Peter was written about 35 years after he started his walk with Jesus, after he and his brother Andrew met. He's writing here from Rome to believers in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, for encouragement and direction because they're encountering a lot of persecution. And he began chapter 5 addressing the elders, and now he shifts in our verses to the rest of the flock, to us. And oops, this is my little bracelet's clanging. So verse 5 starts out, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon you, for he cares for you." So let's pray, and then we'll get into our scripture. Thank you, God, for your precious word. We love you so much. We love how you direct us, how you teach us. I ask, please, God, that you speak through me today, that I might impart some of what you have been just showing me in spades this past month. We just love your word, and we hope to apply it, Lord, to our lives, because this is an important topic, and you have a lot to say about it. So we'll get through it, and we just pray your blessing on this morning, and I thank you for that, Lord. We pray in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So he starts off, like I said, addressing these younger people, which basically is all of us, because there's always somebody older, there's always somebody younger, so we all need to pay attention. You know. And then we're included in this instruction to be submissive to each other. And we know, as women, submission is hard sometimes, isn't it? It's a tough place to be. We have to put ourselves there. But with God's help, we can do it. And we know that submission to God is essential in our Christian walks. But here, we must be willing to submit. We need to be yielded. And sometimes it's a superior force, but always to the will of God. And here he asks, to the will of another, the authority of another. It means to be put under. I think it's easier with God than it is with people. We know that God is so great and that our place is always under him. It's when God asks us to be submissive to others, I think, that sometimes it's harder for us. Bible commentator David Guzik says, "Humility is demonstrated by submission. It is the ability to cheerfully put away our own agenda for God's, even if God's agenda is expressed through another person. It's an internal choice that we will be asked to make our entire lives. We're called, like I said, to submit to God always, but also to our spouses, children to their parents, slaves to their masters, or employees to their bosses, certainly soldiers to their leaders. And as citizens, we are called to submit to those in authority over us. And in this world and in this government, there are lots that are in authority to us, in authority over us, and we are meant to obey. And here he talks about it, to one another in the body of Christ. And that is how our Christian family should relate to each other, cheerfully, with kindness, with humility, with mutual submission and respect. This is what we call esteeming one another and loving one another, and we are to lift each other up. It's also a really important way that being filled with the Holy Spirit is manifested in our lives as believers. If we can cheerfully lift others above ourselves, we get a hint of what it's like to have the Spirit in us, because there's nothing good in us. If we can be good, if we can love one another, that comes from God. In Ephesians 5:21, it reads, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So we know this pleases God. He wants his family to get along. You know, it's up to us personally, each of us. So on the next section, still in verse 5, we're called to be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we looked at the same wording in our last study in James, didn't we? And we know that when God repeats something, we're supposed to pay attention. So we'll take a closer look, shall we? We might ask, what does that really mean, to be clothed with humility, and why is it so important? You know, we have two basic choices that we make in how we act and how we speak and live and talk, right or wrong, in God's eyes, with humility or with pride. So now we're going to take a look at what biblical humility is and what it is not, and we're going to see what pride is and how God feels about it. And spoiler alert, he doesn't just resist it. First, humility. It's important to God and it's beautiful to God. The definition of humility is having a modest or lowly estimate of one's own importance or position. Lowly versus lofty. And only God is high and lofty. It's an underlying servant attitude that we must have to accompany all of our true worship. And it's also an understanding that, personally, my voice doesn't always need to be heard. My opinion needn't be spoken, and my way isn't necessarily better. And this being cheerfully willing to lead is this part that's tough sometimes. It's us really embracing that life does not revolve around me. Our lives revolve around Jesus, because it's his great being, his unimaginable worth, his righteousness, his holiness, and his blood, and his sacrificial love for us. These things give us our place in this world, right? In this life, and for eternity. Drink of water. Thank you. And our place is lowly, one of gratitude, because of his greatness, our humble king who came to serve and not to be served. He is our perfect example of humility, isn't he? Our Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So great a gift to us at such a great cost. And how can we not be humbled by that? That is where our position lies, under that great gift. Jesus, who chose the will of the Father above his own life and above his own will for us, and he chose to humble himself. It's an act. It's something that we actively do. We take part in it. It's spirit-led choice, but it takes thought. It takes a heart check. It's something that we do for ourselves and for God, because our life does not revolve around me, but Jesus. Okay. Let's see here. He humbled himself, and the scripture says, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. He humbled himself and he was exalted. He was glorified in his humility. And our sense or our spirit of our own humility or our lack of it reflects the importance that we place on the humility of Christ. He is our example. So he gives us our humility or our lack of it. Are you humbled by picturing him on the cross? Does it break your heart to picture him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? You know, one definition of to be clothed, it translates a rare word that refers to a slave putting on an apron before serving, just as Jesus did before he washed the dusty feet of his disciples. He removed his outer garments, and oftentimes we need to take off those old clothes before we can be clothed with humility. He humbled himself into whatever position served his Father, willing to yield, willing to serve, loving and precious Son of God. God wants us to adopt a sense of humility like Jesus, glorifying God by serving others cheerfully, and it's an important aspect of our Christian life. When we have a right and true view of ourselves as lowly, needy, sinful, selfish, and we examine ourselves against the holy standards of God, it's hard to consider ourselves above washing dirty feet. Pride goes out the window with the dirty water. You can't throw stones while you're washing feet. Humility has a way of taking us down a peg or two or three, but humility is not hopeless and defeated. It's not helpless or worthless or beaten down beyond recovery. Not anymore. It's not being unworthy of love or unworthy of having a voice, because we have a voice with God and he always wants to hear it. There's a beautiful balance here. We have a lowly view, but we're daughters of the King. So we've got this lowliness that we need to accept in ourselves when we deal with people and we respect God. But we are a holy nation, aren't we? Because of his righteousness, a royal priesthood, because we're part of God's family. We are accepted and chosen by him, unique and precious in his eyes, rescued, set apart for him, forgiven in him, and beloved by him. Oh, it's precious. And so much more. Onward. But it's all him. That's the point. You know, we have so much in Jesus. And we are so much in Jesus. And we can happily boast about that all day long. You know, he loves to hear that praise. Boast about him, but not of ourselves. That boasting, that is pride. That is not acceptable or tolerated by God, because pride is a sin, and pride is ugly. And pride is defined as, well, we know this, conceited, arrogant. The proud woman is vainly puffed up by her own fleshly mind. And who are we that we should puff ourselves up? It's a battle in our minds. And pride is sneaky. Pride comes into our heads when we do not expect it. I've had four heart checks this morning already about just things in life. You know, what am I going to say? How will I respond? It's in our heads. It starts to ferment like yeast when we begin to look at ourselves, of course, our favorite person. We take our eyes off Jesus, and we start thinking, you know, I am pretty cool. I know the answer to that. Maybe they need to hear it. I've got this. You know, I've got all things figured out on my own. I am all that in a bag of chips. Well, you know, girlfriend, you're not even the bag of chips without God. Ah. Pride seeks glory for yourself and not to glorify God. And God hates pride. Listen to this. Proverbs 16:16. There is a list, an actual list. It says, these six things God hates. Number one on the list, verse 17, a proud look. Boop. First one on the list, a proud look. We are not to raise ourselves above others. But I know that sometimes we do. It's in our pride. We fall into these thoughts when we see some sorry person struggling down in the pit, and we're just so glad that we're up here now, and we're not still down in the pit, still lost. But we need to correct that thinking, because we need to remember that we were once there. We were lost too. What can we do to help that person? How do we change our attitude? It's only God that lifted us out of that darkness into his glorious light. We give him the praise. You know, there but for the grace of God could be any one of us still down there struggling. And we do still struggle as Christians, but we have God. Here's another verse. This is in Proverbs 8:13. And this is wisdom speaking to us and says, "Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." So we get a strong picture here of how God feels about pride. But you know who just loves our pride? The enemy. Satan, and our culture today. Oh my gosh, pride has become a buzzword. Pride parades, pride in all the wrong things. Pride is destructive and it's contagious and it will take people down into that pit. And pride is strong. We must be mindful of it all the time. Learn to fight it in ourselves, in our hearts, because God hates to see it in his children. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's like a scene out of a Rocky movie. You know, it's just... Ladies and gentlemen, in the ring tonight, we have the big fight, tonight and every night. You know, in this corner, we have humility. She's dressed in pure white. She's beaming. She has a beautiful smile on her face. We love her. She's given glory to God, and she has a sweet-smelling fragrance about her. Yay! And in the opposing corner, we have pride. She is dressed in dull black. She's shabby. She's puffed up. She's got a smirk on her face. I think she's snarling a little bit. And she has a foul smell about her, you know. Don't be fooled, folks. Pride is a strong opponent, and it looks like it's going to be a tough fight. It could go the distance, and it will. It will go the distance because fighting against pride is something quite powerful in our own sinful nature. And it will be a battle our whole lives. We love me, me, me. Me, myself, and I. Me, me first, me the most, me. I did it myself, me the best, me, I want it. Me, I deserve it. Really? No, you don't deserve it. What you deserve is a spanking, you know? And you might just get one from God. Because like any good father, he chastises and corrects his children. And he can do it in a lot of different ways, creative ways. Remember, God resists the proud. You think you've got plans? Think again. Maybe not. To resist means God will withstand, prevent, or fight against the actions or efforts of the prideful. And we don't know, like I say, how he might battle our arrogance and disobedience. We see it throughout Scripture. People are brought down for glorifying themselves instead of God. He's very clear. Again, in Proverbs 16, after that list of what God hates, the word says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty look before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud." So let's make good choices. Because here comes that spanking. In Psalm 147, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground." Did you catch that? We don't need to lift ourselves up in pride. God lifts up the humble himself. So, lifted up by God or cast down to the ground in our pride. And frankly, rather than getting that spanking, and, you know, no parent really wants to have to spank their kids. God doesn't either. He'd rather have our obedience. Try this. Give yourself a timeout instead. When you feel that pride raising up its ugly head, refresh your perspective. Think lowly. Take your eyes off of yourself. Spend some quiet time humbly sitting at the feet of Jesus, because even a moment with him can change our attitude. Remember, but one thing is needed, Jesus said to Martha that day, and Mary has chosen that good part which cannot be taken away from her. And that good part is simply spending time with Jesus. And don't we have another wonderful example of Mary there in her humility? He gives us these beautiful pictures. She said nothing, but she did what was right, devoting herself to Jesus' teachings. And we, by faith, we seek grace from the words of Christ. And then, like Mary, we are changed. And this allows us to serve him and others more readily. It's almost impossible to go on in pride and haughtiness when we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. It just can't be done. We're in the perfect position of humility. As our gratitude for his humility grows, our pride is made small. More of him and less of me. That's the key to humility. I got that little thing in my head and I could not get it out. I almost made a little song of it. More of him and less of me. That's the key to humility. You know, it's only as I was singing and doing the dishes. You know, only a sincere spirit of humility can any of us really develop, and we need to have it with the Holy Spirit leading us. There's a lot of false humility out there, but if it's really real, it's a precious, precious gift. And we need it to live this Christian walk really well. To be clothed with humility is an instruction from God to prepare ourselves for what lies ahead. And it has to be intentional and it has to be purposeful to be clothed. It's similar to putting on the full armor of God. We need those weapons to withstand what the world and the enemy throw at us. And humility is a weapon that we need to fight pride, because a humble spirit and a prideful one simply cannot coexist. They are eternal enemies. And pride is something within ourselves. We need weapons to fight what's in ourselves as much as what comes at us from outside, because there's an ugliness in every one of us. None of us is good. Only God is good. You know, that being clothed is the step we must take. We must actively put something on. I walked in here this morning. I noticed that you were all wearing clothes. And I had to say thank you for that, you know. Oh. And I can see that you all put some thought into it, because it's important to us how we look and how we come across. But, you know, people see more than just your clothes. They see your eyes. They see your posture, your actions, your attitude. They hear your words. So we need to check our hearts and think, how do we come across when people really see us, when we're with friends, when we're marketing, when we're in school, when we're at our job? Are we lofty or are we lowly? Do you feel clothed with humility, or do you need to be a little more intentional and nurture that part of you and really think about it? I have to think about it all day long. You know, that soft spirit in my heart, I have to be purposeful about it. But the Holy Spirit helps us with that when we humble ourselves and ask him for the help. All right. In Micah, book of Micah 6:8, the word says, he has shown you, or man, O man or O woman, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Humility is actually required for every part of our walk. We are asked to do a lot of things as Christians that honor God, and they take less of us and more of him. We have to humble ourselves to submit and surrender. Those are tough. I don't do it easily. To my husband, there's times when I want to rear up and just fight back and say, oh, I know this is right. I want you to do it my way. Well, he doesn't need to hear that. You know, he's a grown-up man. I don't have to always say my piece. We need humility to pray, to give God our most sincere thoughts and our deepest parts of our heart, to be open to him, to trust in God takes humility. And we throw these words around, but every one of them makes us lowly in his, in a good way, lowly in his sight, because we are beneath him. We have to have humility to admit when we've done something wrong. It takes humility to apologize. It even takes humility to accept an apology, to be gracious, to make ourselves lowly, to esteem that person, that other person that's being humble enough to apologize to us, to accept it graciously. That grace comes from humility, of being able to accept it and say, okay, I forgive you. Forgiveness takes a huge amount of humility. Oh my goodness. To confess our sins to God, that's one of our greatest opportunities for humility, isn't it? We have to humble ourselves. We have to take our sins seriously, look deep into our hearts, and ask God to search our hearts as well. We have to say the words to confess. You have to feel the weight of your sin. Let yourself really look and see, what have I done this week? What have I done today that I have to give to the Lord? Because sin is heavy. We have to feel the weight of it and ask for forgiveness. And then we feel that weight lifted. It's a fantastic transition. That's one of those divine exchanges. Like Robin, you know, we give it to him. We, just like in the back part of the scripture, we cast our cares on him. Think deeply of what you need to get rid of because he wants to take it for you. It's not up to us to deal with everything in this life by ourselves. That's why we love God. That's why he's here. He guides us through that. It even takes humility to praise and give thanks because, again, it all expresses our need and our appreciation for God. And it certainly requires humility to esteem others above ourselves. That's the tough one. We have to put other people above ourselves. Sometimes for me, that's not as easy. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Paul tells us to let nothing be done in selfish motivation or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Each of you look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Selfish ambition versus lowliness of mind. A prideful heart, a humble heart. Again, there's that word self again. Society and the world of today love to push self, don't they? But that's not what God wants. It sells more when people are so full of themselves. Self-interest is very big business. Self-everything fills social media. It's self, 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 selfies. I mean, there's the perfect word. We took a bunch of them last night. Ah, you know, we're looking at, look, there's Lauren Daigle behind us. You know, and we loved it, you know, and we look at those and we love it. Just like Rob says, who do you look for first in the picture? Do I look good? Is my hair in your name? What do I look like? You know, how do I look? Me, 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 right? But what are the better choices? As a woman of God, you are either self-centered or Christ-centered. You have self-confidence, or is your confidence in a victorious Jesus? Society encourages us to be self-empowered, but I need power from the Holy Spirit every single day. Are we self-seeking, or do we prefer to seek God first? Self-motivated. That sounds so good, doesn't it? But we want to be motivated by the desire to please God. And if it comes from within yourself to please God, that can be a good thing because it's coming from your appreciation of God. Self-promotion or seeking to promote the gospel. Self-love, that's a big one, or loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Seeking praise for herself or giving God all the glory. But not all self is a hindrance to humility. Self-sacrifice, self-control come to mind, both illustrated perfectly by Jesus. God values humility so much that he will encourage it in us in lots of ways. Sometimes some of them are hard. We've seen through scripture, it can be crushing. When we need our perspective to change or to refocus, he will bring us to a humble place in our hearts. Sometimes God allows us to be humbled by a change in our own circumstances. Bad news shows up at our doorstep, unannounced and unwelcome. Things go wrong. People do wrong. Life takes an unfortunate turn for the worse. We always think of poor Job. Oh my gosh, such a lesson in humility and trust and faith. Suffering and loss drive us to our knees. We cry out to God, but the suffering has a purpose. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. He promises it, and he will do it. And as we make our requests made known to him, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving for having a God who cares for us and hears those prayers, then that peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ to Jesus. Humility is tied to peace as well as to grace. It's in our greatest need of his help, and sometimes the help of others, that we might feel most earnest and fervent in our prayers. We need to be honest with him and give him the honor that he deserves. He deserves the truth from us. He knows it anyway, but he wants to hear it from his children. He wants to hear us cry out to him. And when we pray fervently and humble ourselves as poor in spirit, we are speaking the language of humility. When we submit to his divine wisdom in humility, then we receive the grace that we need to put into practice the good conduct and the good character that God desires of us and wants to build in us and for us. And I need that grace. And we get other rewards too for humbling ourselves. Listen to this, Proverbs 22:4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Riches and honor and life. What more could we want? From God, awesome. God sometimes has other reasons in mind for humbling us too. He uses it in our lives to bring things to mind sometimes. Remember back in Deuteronomy 8, the Israelites are reminded of their journey like they could ever forget it. And God's grace followed them there. And it reads, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your hearts and whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Sometimes God tests us to build our humility. And I think that most of us, or all of us, have felt that testing sometimes. Life is hard and the storms come. And how do we choose to respond? We're called to respond like Jesus would. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells us to be imitators of God as dear children, to walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for that sweet-smelling aroma. And it's okay if you lose yourself in the storm sometimes. It's hard as long as you find Jesus there walking beside you. And remember that others may be watching too to see how you handle those storms and how you handle success and failure. Do you give glory to God in both situations? You remember that he's walking with you both through the storms and on the high tops of the mountaintops? Remember that without Christ, we can do nothing. But that's nothing to fear, because the flip side is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all the glory goes to God. And the humble woman loves to give him the glory. But the prideful do not. They try to leave God out of the picture totally, deny him, even though he upholds all things in their world too by the word of his power. They seek to glorify themselves and seek glory and the praises of men out of their pride. And it's very unattractive because it's sin. As a little example, I really like to watch football. And I'm sure this happens in all kinds of sports, but some guy will just make this great play. Maybe he scores or catches a touchdown, and you're thinking, yay, the fans, thousands of people are clapping for him. Little agile. And there's the guy, and he's going like this, you know, more, more, more. Me, me, me. You know, I am so awesome. And now you're looking at the guy and you're thinking, that guy is a jerk, you know, and you were just clapping for him. And you think, you know, yeah, you made a great play, but you're getting paid $50 million to do it. And that's your job, you know. And do you think you did it all by yourself? No. And then the other team gets the ball and one of their guys makes a fabulous catch. And this guy gets down on one knee, kisses his hand, points heavenward, gives the glory to God, you know. And we're going, we love him, right? We love him. And that little poignant gesture, doesn't it touch our hearts? We love to see God getting the glory. And he deserves it. And we think, that guy gets it, right? And then he's on your fantasy football team. Because humility is beautiful, you know. God deserves it. You know, never be ashamed to acknowledge God in your victories, large and small. They all belong to him anyway, right? Every ability we have, every talent, our resources, our opportunities, our breath, our bodies, our strength, our families, our faith, our love, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. So whatever we have, you know, it's all from him anyway. Where is the room for our pride in that? Our realization that he is in every single part of our lives helps to keep us humble. That kind of nasty glory-seeking of the prideful football player, that's different from feeling pleased with yourself for a job well done. That's okay in God's eyes. He wants us to do well. He gives us those abilities and talents. He wants us to hone our skills. He wants us to do well at what we have chosen for ourselves to do, because that's what life is about. Give the glory to God. Do a great job. Do your best. You know, our resources and our time are meant to be well managed and hopefully well used. When we work hard with a good attitude and get a good result, yay. You know, be happy. We give thanks for the good character that he's building in us through that. God is a big fan of effort, you know. Proverbs 31 woman, she was a hard worker. She's smart. She's wise. She loves her family. She's loyal. She's virtuous. She's charitable. She works hard with what God has given her. And in verse 25 and 26, it says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She takes great personal pride in it all and boasts about it to everyone she can. Right? No. No, she doesn't, of course not. Her praise comes from those she serves. It goes on to say, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her at the gates. The Proverbs 31 woman is not self-seeking. She is both fruitful and clothed with humility. She has humbled herself under the mighty hand of God, doing what she can right where God has placed her. We don't have to lift ourselves up out of pride. God will do it for us. Let our praise come from God and those we serve, and he will lift us. That's a promise from him, and that's what we can look forward to. So you choose, lowly or lofty. Praise yourself or get it from God. God takes delight in understanding that he is the giver of good things. He is the one who walks beside us, who longs for us to pour out our troubles and our sadness and our confessions to him. He alone can revive the heart of the humble ones who come to him in humility. Be clothed with humility. Put it on. Let it cover you. You know, I picture this awards show, you know, and they've got somebody walking down the red carpet, and she's got this beautiful, shiny red satin cloak on. And the person goes, oh, my goodness, don't you look gorgeous? You look absolutely beautiful. Who are you wearing? She says, I'm wearing Jesus Christ. I'm clothed with Jesus Christ. This beautiful red, that represents the blood that he shed for me on the cross. And then she takes it off and whips it around like a matador. And the other side is pure, soft, white velvet. Cushy, yummy, you know. And says, and this represents how God sees me now. In his righteousness, I'm pure, I'm clean, and you can have that too. And wouldn't that just floor everybody if anybody on the red carpet would do that? Get the word of the, you know, get the gospel out. Well, it's not going to happen in Hollywood, but it might happen at the Dove Awards or something. We can only hope for that, you know. If you notice that your view of people is changing and you seem to maybe be looking down on people a little bit, a little more lofty than lowly, give yourself a timeout. Don't get that spanking. Refresh your focus and get your eyes back on Jesus and exalt him for who he is and who you are in him. Only God is high and lofty, and we are lowly and lovely down here, right where he wants us. We can be beautiful in the position that God wants us in, looking up to God, looking up to Jesus, looking up to all that he has for us. We take the lower view, us looking up to him. That's the perspective that God wants us to take. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to set our hearts to rights. More of him and less of me. That's our key to humility. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the gift of humility. Sometimes we find that one hard to open because our pride gets in the way. But we know that you can help us, Lord, to lead a spirit-filled life that honors you and gives you all the glory. We couldn't give you enough. You deserve so much more, but we're so happy we have eternity to give you all that we can, to sing your praises, to see and feel and taste how very great you are in every single aspect of our lives. Help us to appreciate you every day, Lord. Help us to take that lowly view that you want from us. It's our proper place in view of everything you've given us and all you are, everything that you've done for us and continue to do, Lord. It's more than enough. You are more than enough for us to live a beautiful life that you have given us. Let us use what you have given us well, be careful with it, be grateful for it, and always remember it all comes from you, Lord. We are beloved by you. It's your character that is great. We give you all thanks and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.